cue the final play. Take me through it.
Well, I'm the best corner in the game. When you try me with a sorry receiver like Crabtree, that's the result you're going to get. Don't you ever talk about me.
You held him to 20 points, man.
Yes, sir.
You gave us a chance at the end. I got 3 words for you. You like that?
Yeah! It happened. Balotelli. Aguero.
Murray, out of the pocket. 7 seconds. 6 seconds. Murray heaves it downfield.
Circle, Horton, the drive, scores! The Bruins knock out Montreal!
Hello and welcome back to another episode of The Master Plan. Today, we're talking more about the MLB. Joining me here today, once again, our in-house MLB expert, Sam Fetterman. Welcome back.
Thank you for having me. Very glad to be back here.
We're always glad to have you here, Sam. And, you know, the hope is that we can keep having you here because I certainly love it. I think it's awesome.
Well, I love joining and I'm looking forward to this discussion.
So today we're talking about the MLB Hall of Fame. We're talking about the ballot, who we think will make it, who we think won't make it. At least this year, who should make it, and just all about it, and kind of which players we think are you know, most likely to make it. So, Sam, you know the most about this. So, at this moment in time, tell us who you think currently off the ballot. If you had, you know, to choose, who would you put on your ballot?
All right. So you're allowed 10 votes.
Mm-hmm.
The first two names that are going to be on my ballot are Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens.
Yeah, I agree.
Although I completely understand not voting for either of them because of their connections with the PED scandals in Major League Baseball.
Right.
I just believe that they are two of the greatest players of all time, and therefore they should be elected to the Hall of Fame.
Right, right.
I mean, player on my ballot is Scott Rolen.
Mm-hmm.
Who is consistently going to, who last year was the fourth highest voted player on the ballot in year five. He got 52.9% of the vote, a 70 war player, 8-time gold glover, career 120 WRC plus hitter. Mm-hmm. That's all. The next name I put on my ballot is Billy Wagner. Billy Wagner is one of the greatest closers of all time. He was truly dominant from the left side for a while there. A career 2.31 ERA, struck out 33% of batters faced over nearly 1,000 innings in the majors. He's a Hall of Famer for me.
Yep.
Then I'm going with David Ortiz for my number five.
For obvious reasons.
He's obviously wouldn't be just a DH, which is a completely different category for Hall of Fame voting on moment, please. But when it comes to David Ortiz, you're getting the best postseason performer in the last 30 to 40 years of the sport, arguably the best postseason performer in the history of the sport, and you're getting a guy who had a 145 career WRC plus.
It's true.
That's fine.
We love David Ortiz here in Boston.
And this is where it gets a little bit dicey.
Right.
I would put Todd Helton on my ballot.
Okay.
I'm a huge Helton Hall of Fame proponent. He is one of the better hitters of the 2000s and the late 90s and 2000s. From 2000 to 2005, he had a 156 WRC plus and 38.5 Fangraphs WAR. He is a career 55 WAR player, a 32 WRC plus. He's not quite have the same case that Larry Walker had. Larry Walker was an elite base runner and defensive player and a similar hitter to Todd Helton, but I still think Helton is good enough to be a Hall of Famer. For my number seven, Andrew Jones.
Okay.
He is arguably the greatest defensive center fielder ever. I wouldn't quite say he's the greatest. I still think that's Willie Mays. But Andrew Jones, career 65 WAR player, picked up multiple 7-win seasons. Actually, he picked up 3 7-win seasons and a 6.9-win season on Fangraphs. This is a guy that he hit pretty well for an elite defender. He's definitely a Hall of Famer, in my opinion. All right. So that's 7. And here's where it gets really difficult.
Right.
Because, hold on, did I say Alex Rodriguez?
No.
Alex Rodriguez.
I have to agree. And I am...
Alex Rodriguez is a Hall of Famer. He's one of the greatest ever. Although I think there's a much stronger case against Alex Rodriguez than there is against Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens.
I have to agree with that. I think we'll get to that after you...
So that's 8.
Yeah.
My number 9 would be Manny Ramirez, one of the best hitters ever. Although I can see, again, the argument against him. It's just at this point we see a lot of PED guys, and I think there's more than 10 Hall of Fame caliber players on this ballot. I'll go out and say that right now. Mm-hmm. So if you want to put Sammy Sosa, Gary Sheffield, Andy Pettit, Jeff Kent, speaking of which, Jeff Kent or Sammy Sosa are the two guys that – Jeff Kent, Sammy Sosa, and Bobby Abreu are the three guys that I'd be considering biggest for the last spot. Gary Sheffield, less so, but I can totally see it. I think there, and then obviously Curt Schilling was on my ballot last year, and then he requested that the voters do not vote for him in his 10th year on the ballot, and that his election be led up to the fate of the Veterans Committee when he comes up for that. And I will be respecting that because I believe that it gives you a reason to vote for 10 other Hall of Fame caliber players.
Right.
Curt Schilling has said that he wants to get in later.
Which do you think he will?
Yes.
Okay. Yeah. I just wanted to be clear about that. So now let me ask you a question. So there are 4 guys on the ballot this year that it's their last year. Obviously, we just talked about Curt Schilling and his circumstance. Does the fact that it's Sammy Sosa's last year to be eligible make you vote for him over a guy like Bobby Abreu or Gary Sheffield or Jeff Kent?
Yes.
Okay.
I definitely think that's the case. And honestly, I would not be opposed to you not voting for like a Dave Ortiz or an A-Rod and then instead voting for Jeff Kent, who's in his 9th year. Even though A-Rod and Ortiz are obviously superior. Well, I don't know if Ortiz is probably a better case than Kent, but Kent may have been a better player. Ortiz just was a much better postseason performer.
Right.
That's Kerry Waterly. And Jeff Kent in his 9th year on the ballot, I could see you trying to vote for him. What happens every year is you get the 10th year push.
Right.
Larry Walker, Edgar Martinez into the Hall of Fame. But Sammy Sosa only got 17% of the ballot last year. And you need 75%.
Right, so he's going to need a quite a big push, right? Almost.
Almost a 0% chance that he gets in. Right. And Kent got 32.4% of the ballot last year. And he's currently polling at about 27%, which is not good. If he got up to like 45 this year, which is pretty unrealistic in the first place, from 32 in the 9th year. From 32 in the 8th year to 45 in the 9th year would be pretty unrealistic. But if he got up to that, he would have a very outside chance in year 10. I don't think we're going to see Jeff Kent make it next year.
Mm-hmm.
Although, there are 3 guys coming off the ballot next year in Bonds, Clemens, and Schilling that will likely see votes going to Jeff Kent.
Right.
Although, I don't think he's going to get it next year.
So
I think we're going to see...
Go ahead.
Maybe 4 this year.
Maybe 4?
Maybe.
Is it usually about three or four?
Every year is different.
Every year is different.
Last year, zero were elected.
Right, because you have to get to 75% of the ballots.
In 2020, there were two. Derek Jeter and Larry Walker. In 2019, there were four. Roy Halladay made it on his first ballot. Edgar Martinez on his final ballot. Mike Mussina on his sixth. And Mariano Rivera on his first. In 2018, it was Chipper Jones made it on his first ballot. Trevor Hoffman on his third. Vlad Guerrero on his second. And Jim Thome.
Mm-hmm.
In 2017... Wait, hold on.
So what you're telling me is that it varies year to year how many guys make it, right? And
yeah.
And so now let me ask you, because obviously there's been a lot of debate about Barry Bonds, Roger Clemens, based on their steroid use. Now, and this is my opinion, and I want to see what you have to say about it. But my thoughts on it are, you know, the steroid era in the MLB, you know, it wasn't exclusive to just Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds. It was the roids era in baseball, and you know, I'm not saying I condone the actions of Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, but at the same time, I mean, Barry Bonds is, you know, I mean, the most unhittable player of all time. I mean, he has, I don't know how many intentional walks, but I know it's a hell of a lot more than the guy sitting in number two.
A lot of them.
And you know, to me, I just think that, you know, I have a slight problem with the Hall of Fame committee in baseball, because I think they're very anti steroids, right?
And the BBWAA is not a committee. It is a collection of writers.
Mm-hmm.
And that is the thing. The instructions are very, there are almost no instructions for the Hall of Fame ballot.
Right.
Actually, it's not even Major League Baseball, the ballot. The ballot is from the BBWAA. Obviously, they only include Major League players. They don't have, they don't include Negro Leaguers on the ballot. They don't, because I think it's been however many years, they don't include players from other leagues on the ballot, even though it's right. The Baseball Hall of Fame, not the
MLB Hall of Fame. So then let me ask you a question.
All it says is, please check candidate of your choice. You're not, you may vote for 10. You don't have to vote for 10. And I believe there's one other piece of instructions somewhere.
So let me ask you, do you think that the Baseball Hall of Fame induction, do you like it compared to other sports, or would you rather see it more like the NFL, NBA, NHL?
Well, I think that, well, the way that the NFL does it is, I'm not really familiar with the way that the NHL and NBA do it, but I know that in the NFL, it's like you present to a committee. Which is weird to me. The Baseball Hall of Fame is the one that makes the most sense to me.
Right.
Because it's not, obviously it's the writers making the decision, but you also have the Veterans Committee. You also have the all the other committees, the old timer committee.
Right.
And that's what makes it make sense.
Because right.
In the Pro Football Hall of Fame, you stay on the same ballot literally forever.
Mm-hmm.
And you clog up potential votes for other Hall of Famers.
Right. And the MLB. Now, so this ballot here. So let's say that, you know, a guy like Curt Schilling doesn't make the Hall of Fame this year, which based on his request, he probably won't, right? So now you mentioned earlier that
there's actually a chance he does. I don't believe that he will, though.
Okay.
I wouldn't be shocked.
Okay. And so he has to go through a completely separate process.
The Veterans Committee is a completely separate process that meets every, like, there's a couple different committees. There's the Golden Days Era Committee, the Early Baseball Committee. There's the, There's the Veterans Committee, obviously. I believe they actually just changed it recently. Mm-hmm. And, like, they don't meet every year. But they go, wait, I don't know exactly how it works. I just know that it's a different process, and he's probably going to get it.
Okay. That's what I was wondering. So why don't you tell us about, so obviously we know about Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens. So, you know, tell us a little bit about these other guys and specifically why you're voting for them over some of the other players in this draft. Because, I mean, listen, there are a lot of very talented players on this list. Prince Fielder's on this list. Mark Teixeira's on this list.
I can tell you why I'm not voting for Prince Fielder.
Yeah, tell us why you're not voting for some of these other big names.
Prince Fielder was a first baseman that had less than 6,000 plate appearances in his career.
Mm-hmm.
He was an excellent hitter, but he only played 12 years. And he really fell off a cliff. He didn't play much defense, accumulated 24 WAR for his career. That's not even half of what you really want in a Hall of Famer.
Right.
And that's also why I can eliminate Ryan Howard, pretty much the same deal. First baseman with less than 6,000 plate appearances. Justin Morneau is the same deal. Even though two of those guys won MVPs and Prince Fielder almost won an MVP.
Right.
It's the Hall of Fame. It's not the Hall of had a couple really nice years.
Okay, that makes sense.
I think A.J. Pierzynski is, like, I don't even know how he got on the ballot. He played for a long time, but he was never, like, truly one of baseball's best players.
Mm-hmm.
And Pierzynski, like, he topped out at 3.6 F4.
Not great.
He was not that good.
So who do you think is gonna make it this year? Like,
okay,
let me ask that question.
You want me to keep going over the guys that, like, I have eliminated? I can do it pretty quickly.
Yeah, keep going.
Papelbon is a reliever, a very good one, but there's relievers better than him that are never gonna get in. Same with Joe Nathan. Tim Lincecum didn't pitch enough, and he fell off a cliff late in his career. He had a couple of really nice seasons. He's in, like if he gets in, then you're opening the door for ton. He's like 20 WAR for his career.
Right.
Carl Crawford, really fast, won a Gold Glove, but the career WAR numbers aren't there. He only had like 7,000 plate appearances, which is not a significant amount. It's the same amount as, like, Johnny Mize was a significantly better player, and it still took him until the Veterans Committee to get into the Hall of Fame.
Right.
Jimmy Rollins, great player, won an MVP, 4 Gold Gloves, but was not really that great of a hitter. And honestly, I'm not as big of a fan of his defense as some other people may be.
Mm-hmm.
47 WAR is pretty solid. It prevents a case, but I don't think he has enough to get it. Mark Teixeira is another first baseman that he had 8,000 plate appearances, and he did have 50 WAR, but I think there's definitely, like, a whole bunch of better players.
Do you think that a guy like Mark Teixeira could eventually get into the Hall of Fame?
I think it'll take some weaker ballots.
Okay.
I think I could eventually consider giving him my vote, but I don't think he'll ever make the Hall.
Gotcha.
I didn't vote for Tim Hudson, although he pitched for 17 years, but was never really a superstar.
I mean, listen, I think when you talk about the Baseball Hall of Fame, right? We're talking about not just the guys who are named to the ballot. I mean, this, you really have to be the top of the top. I mean, we're talking about the best players of all time in the game of baseball. We're not talking about the guys who are, you know, really, really great players. Like, you know what I'm saying? There's a difference between a really great player and one of the best of all time, right?
Yep, absolutely.
And I think that a lot of times people get those two things confused.
About like Tim Hudson is, Orel Hershiser, Dwight Gooden, they're not in the Hall of Fame. They both peaked higher and had similar career numbers. Tim Hudson, I don't think it's not Hall of Fame.
And they're, you know, they're great players and nothing against them, right? But the MLB Hall of Fame and all Hall of Fames for that regard are reserved for people who were the best at their time, right? I mean, some of the best players of all time.
I'm a big Hall kind of guy. Like, I am not what they would call a small Hall voter.
Right.
Which is someone who votes for, like, very few guys a year, has very high standards. I am not one of those people.
No, and me too. I
fill my ballot every year.
Right.
My ballot doesn't matter. But I fill my ballot for all 10 guys every year.
I agree.
And because I think there's more than 10 Hall of Fame caliber players on the ballot.
Right.
However, there are a lot of guys on this ballot who are not Hall of Fame caliber, or really even close to that.
Right, right. So now, back to my earlier question. Did you finish, or do you have a couple guys that you wanted to talk about?
Corey Hunter, another pretty great player, but underwhelming offense. Mark Burley, I'm not moved by Mark Burley. Those are the guys that I'm like against. Those are guys like I wouldn't vote for.
Right.
Like Jim Peavy didn't have a longevity.
Yeah, yeah, I understand that. Mark.
Those are the guys that I wouldn't consider.
Right. Yeah. I mean.
Maybe on a weaker ballot, Mark Burley can get some more consideration from me.
I mean, he was an all-star, but he never won the Cy Young, did he? So.
And I think that also I would not consider Omar Vizquel. He's only received 9.3% of the vote this year after receiving 49.1% last year. I'd assume a lot of that has to come from the domestic violence allegations that surfaced
right
over the course of the year. But he's also a terrible hitter for his career, only above average hitter twice. While he was a great defender, he still did not accumulate even 46 WAR for his career. In 24 seasons.
24, not even 40. That's crazy.
Yeah.
So now tell us. So your opinion, which guys you think will make it this year?
Okay. I think that this is, I'm not 100% sure, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
But I think this is the year Bonds and Clemens get it.
I mean, it has to be, right? I mean, this is.
It's obviously both their last years on the ballot. They're both currently polling above 75%.
Right, I'm just.
They each polled at around 70% last year, and they finished at 61. But I do think that we're going to have the 10th year push that gets both of them in.
Mm-hmm.
I think David Ortiz gets in.
I do too.
While he may not have the best case. Statistically out of these guys.
Right.
He seems to be very popular among the voters. 82.5% of the vote so far, which is the most out of anybody so far.
Right. I think there's something that's to be said maybe about, I think, you've talked about just like his postseason, but maybe his clutchness as well, which I think is something
and people love him.
Yeah, he's a very lovable guy, I think. So,
and those are the only three that I think are going to get in. And I'm not even sure about Bonds and Clemens. I'm most certain about Ortiz. I'm not like 100%, but I'm more certain about him than Bonds and Clemens.
And who do you think would be the first guy out? Assuming those three get in, do you think A-Rod is number four?
No. I do not think that the voters aren't polling big with A-Rod right now.
And why do you think that is? Do you think it's the same thing with the PEDs?
I think it's part PEDs and part the fact that people don't like him.
I can understand that. I don't like him either. But I do think he's a Hall of Famer. So, you know, I mean,
I agree, but people don't like him. And that's a big deal for a lot of voters.
See, I think the thing with me about these Baseball Hall of Fame voters is that I think a lot of them are very personal about their votes sometimes. And I don't know if they totally judge the player as a player, but they also judge like the person, which I think is okay in a certain way. I mean, you want to have, you know, good representation of people in the Baseball Hall of Fame. But at the same time, I mean, Alex Rodriguez was one of the best players
I agree. He's on my ballot.
Yeah.
But I don't believe that the vote, I think he eventually will get it.
Oh, yeah. Because
he is a first year on the ballot, polling around 47% right now. Even if that drops to like 35%, a first year on the ballot of 35% is an excellent performance. That's more than most guys will ever get.
Right. Right. No, I see what you're saying. So you think this will be the final year or finally the year that Barry Bonds and Roger Clemens, you know, make their way into the Hall of Fame?
I do.
I hope so. I hope
but
you're right.
I'm not 100% certain on that. I would be a lot more, I'm a lot more confident in Ortiz making it.
So you think at most we get three Hall of Famers this year?
I think that at most we get, like at absolute most, it's four.
Yeah.
There's a small chance. It would take a lot, but there's a small chance that Scott Rolen gets in.
Yeah.
I think Scott Rolen gets in either in year six or seven, though.
Right.
I doubt Curt Schilling gets in. He didn't get in last year, and he told the voters to stop voting for him. Even though he's still polling pretty well, I doubt he gets in.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's a very interesting year for the Hall of Fame, I think. I mean, this
and
is...
Obviously, it's also very important to mention the early baseball era committee inducted Bud Fowler and Buck O'Neill into the Hall of Fame, both very deserving as pioneers and executives, not as players. And the Golden Days era committee, and by the way, Buck O'Neill, in my opinion, is the best ambassador that the game of baseball has ever had. And then for the Golden Days era committee, they inducted in Gil Hodges, Jim Cott, Minnie Minoso, Antonio Oliva. I agree with Gil Hodges and Minnie Minoso. I cannot say the same about Tony Oliva and Jim Cott. I think that the fact that Dick Allen did not get into the Hall of Fame here is a travesty. And I can't believe it even took him this long. He passed away in 2020. He was never really considered by the writers that much. He peaked at around 18.9% on the writers' ballot in 1996.
Mm-hmm.
The 1997 was his 15th and final year on the writers' ballot. That obviously changed to 10 years, a couple years back.
Right.
And Dick Allen has yet to get through the Veterans Committee. You'll not be able to attend his induction, which will eventually happen. I believe he missed out by one vote this year.
That's crazy.
In a 16-man committee, you need 12. He got 11.
So next year is what you're telling me. Or whenever the next vote is.
I'm telling you that I believe the next time the Veterans Committee meets, Dick Allen will make the Hall of Fame.
Well, folks, there you have it. Sam Fetterman's predictions for this year's Baseball Hall of Fame. Who's getting in, who's not getting in, and why. Plus everyone else from the Veterans Committee, Golden Days Committee. What was it, the pre-ball era as well? Is that the other one?
The early baseball era.
Early baseball, yeah.
Which does deal with a lot of the Negro Leagues,
yeah.
Which are the most important thing that people don't know.
I think people need to go to the museum because there's
the Negro League. Yeah. Yes, it is on my bucket list. The Negro League Museum in Kansas City is one of my number one things that I want to see.
It's incredible. I haven't been there, but from what I've heard, it's incredible. So. Yes,
I think everybody needs to learn more about the Negro League.
Listen, it's a part of baseball's history, and I think that the MLB did the right thing.
Baseball's history. It's a vital piece of American history.
Couldn't have said it better myself. So thank you to Sam for coming on, sharing everything with us. He'll be on the writers voting one day, so you can all assure yourselves of that. Thank you all for listening, and have a great day.
The game on the line. One shot. Who would you rather have taking it, Iggy or Curry?
Of everyone on Golden State, open shot, fate of the universe on the line, or the Martians have the death beam pointed at Earth, you better hit it. I want Iguodala.